Please stand.
Our service begins on page 260. This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repents of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We continue with the Old Testament canticle. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this evening comes from Leviticus chapter 24. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, bring out of the camp the one who cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him, and speak to the people of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. Whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him, the sojourner as well as the native. When he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from Acts chapter 22. Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you. And when they heard that Paul was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers. Being zealous for God, all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me, and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, and standing by me said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him, to everyone, what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our third reading comes from Matthew chapter 26. Then those who had seized Jesus led him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. And Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest. And going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end. Now, the chief priests and the whole council were seeking false testimony against Jesus, that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said, This man said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And the high priest stood up and said, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But Jesus remained silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said so. But I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes and said, He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? We have now heard his blasphemy. What is your judgment? They answered, He deserves death. Then they spit in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying, Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who is it that struck you? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Lenten responsory on page 263. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Please stand as we confess together the basics of our faith. The Ten Commandments.
You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
The Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come,
thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, gossiping is fun, right? It doesn't matter if you're a man or if you're a woman. It's a lot of fun. You hear a little juicy tidbit about somebody else, and you are in the inside of the secret, and everybody else is on the outside, and so it feels really good. It feels really powerful when you get to open your lips and tell somebody else that little juicy bit of whatever you have that's a secret. Very rarely, when we are in the midst of gossiping, do we actually ever consider whether it might be true or not. And even if we do consider if it's true, we never really consider whether it's supposed to be a secret or not. Maybe, after all, whatever secret we know and somebody else is on the outside of, maybe it's supposed to be that way. But we're not focused on any of that. Instead, what we focus on is how good it makes us feel. And we know even then that it's wrong. And so in our text for today, we find Jesus. He's been accused. He's been arrested. He's standing in the middle of a courtroom before the Sanhedrin, which was, if we want to equate it to what we have in our country, is the Supreme Court of the Jews. They've already decided they're going to put Jesus to death. The only thing they need is the right piece of evidence. That way they can finally give their verdict. But Jesus has been perfect. Jesus hasn't misstepped God's commandments, not even one time. And so false witness after false witness after false witness comes forward, and none of them have enough evidence to put Jesus away. But it's interesting that who they parade before him are false witnesses. You know, maybe it is that we've heard this story so many times and we know that is a fact of it. But to think about having a false witness in the Supreme Court to condemn an innocent man, we should be doing a double take. That doesn't make any sense. We all know that the court is supposed to execute justice and righteousness and goodness, not false testimony. What sort of backhanded court is this? And yet right there, clear as day, it is false testimony that is coming forward to put Jesus to death. Now, I don't know about you guys. I've never actually been called to be a witness in a court case. But we see it in the movies all the time, right? You have to put your hand on one of these, right? On a Bible. And you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. One of the very few times that Christians actually have permission to swear by God's name. Why? Well, because it's an important time. Someone's reputation is on the line. Someone's character is on the line. Someone's life may be on the line. And so we make this promise that we will only tell the truth. But not for Jesus. The court that Jesus finds himself in is filled with falsehood. And so we're right to be absolutely disgusted by it. Just the same as if we were to see an innocent man get condemned in our own time, we should be disgusted by what happens to our Savior in that courtroom. But before we point too many fingers, let's remember that we are the ones who slander Jesus too. We are those who parade false witness and in fact perpetuate the false witness against our Savior. Their sin is the very same as our sin. And we see it not only in those times when we slander each other or spread that little juicy bit of gossip about somebody else that they probably really don't want circulating the community. Now, many of you sitting here are probably saying, well, I've never badmouthed Jesus at the very least. Well, maybe in a former time, but not anymore. But the truth is that we do give false witness against Jesus. It's when we're absent from the Lord's house, when we're absent from his divine service. And I'm not just speaking about physical presence in the church. We can be absent in our body, certainly, but we're sometimes absent in our mind. And we're sometimes absent in our heart. And in that moment, we are bearing false witness against Jesus. We kill his reputation. See, in doing this, we proclaim that Jesus doesn't really matter. That's what the court was trying to do. That's why they spit in his face. That's why they struck him. That's why they tried to find him in some sort of falsehood. Because if they can discredit him, then he is not the Christ. If they can find one sin against him, then he is not the Christ. And so as Christians who ought to know better, as Christians who already know it's bad to slander somebody else, we do it to Jesus. And we mindlessly say the Lord's Prayer without ever thinking the words that we're saying, or the Apostles' Creed, or the Nicene Creed, or we just went through the basics of our faith and how many of us actually pondered and thought about where those words were in our own lives. It's just wrote out of the book. And it's false witness. False witness after false witness after false witness, even in our own time, come forward to lie about Jesus. And who's going to defend his reputation? Who's going to speak well of him? Well, it's interesting that it's not actually the false witness, at least not in that sense, that gets to condemn him. It is somebody who speaks the truth that condemns Jesus. They said, well, Jesus said just a few days ago that I am able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days. And wouldn't you know it, but Jesus actually did say that. But he wasn't talking about the temple that took 46 years to build, Herod's temple. He's talking about the temple of his body. Even when he is being condemned, even when he's in this court of falsehood, Jesus can't do it. He can't speak anything false. He preaches a sermon about how he is going to die, and 3 days later, he's going to come back to life. And that's exactly what he does. He doesn't tell a lie. But even when these people are forsaking him, he is saying what he is going to do for them. He dies for the Sanhedrin. He dies for this false court. And he dies for you. Those who haven't been faithful the way we ought to be. And what's better is that Jesus, what he does is he takes this falsehood and he turns it around for good. Because it doesn't just save the Sanhedrin, it saves the whole world. By Jesus' innocence in court, you are forgiven. Jesus is God in the flesh. As I said before our service began, our Lenten theme is to return. And so recognizing how perfect Jesus has been, how he never uttered one lie, we return to him. Knowing that even though we have sinned, he will never sin against us. When we come into this place and we confess the deepest, darkest sins of our heart during the absolution, will Jesus go and tell those to the whole world? Will he go and release those to the whole community? Of course not. He dies for them on the cross and they make their way with him into the tomb. And they're never seen again. When we fall on our knees in confidence and pray to our Father who is unseen, do those words ever make it out for us to be embarrassed about later on? Of course not. Because Jesus isn't in the business of gossip. He's in the business of forgiveness and life and salvation. And so that's what he does for you. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful. Return from your slander and false witness and gossip and trust in what he has done for you through his death and resurrection. Because when you do, the Lord has good use of you. Because when you receive the forgiveness that Jesus has won, now he can use your lips for the benefit of your neighbor and for the benefit of God. Now he uses our lips to share that message of our Savior with the entire world. Because the truth is that our confession is important. What we do with our bodies is important. What we do with our mouths is important. What we do with our hands is important. And what we believe in our hearts is important. It's a confession of who we believe our Savior is. And so tonight, Lent, of course, all year round, return to the Lord your God. Return from false witness to receive his love and his forgiveness. Turn aside from your sin and serve him, for he will never bear false witness against you. And in his death and resurrection, you are forgiven. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, I will direct your attention to hymn 430. Please stand for prayer. We continue on page 265. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the holy Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Taylor Ross, son-in-law of Kenton and Marcia Stoll, as he endures surgery today, and with your blessing begins his recovery, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day, and I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night, for into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. At this time, I will direct your attention to hymn 572. We sing together stanzas 1, 4, and 6. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Please be seated.